superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Ananobi, catch and shoot.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, comment, a great pass.
Just get the ball to OG, and he made it. That's what it was about.
Today's guests, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, actor John Leguizamo, NHL on NBC analyst Pierre Maguire, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst, plus Hammer and Hank Goldberg previews the Kentucky Derby. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
All righty, everybody. Welcome to this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live from our Los Angeles studios. Friday before Labor Day 2020. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo in their usual spots.
Hey,
my on-air compadres. TJ Jefferson just missed a putt, but it's okay. It's okay. He's going to frame up his own camera. That's the way we work. For those watching us on Peacock and also NBCSN, you see we've got some nifty new mic flags.
Ooh.
Yeah, to support our partnership with Peacock.
These there it is.
You've got one.
These are fresh.
They are literally like taken straight out of the plastic, yeah. out of a box that was shipped to us.
Like an hour ago.
That's how fresh it is. Not only do we have a new mic flag, I have an absurd amount of mugs on the desk, so we're ready to go here.
I wanted to bring that up yesterday. Yeah. Like, what's going on over there?
Well, you know, I've got the Peacock
collection?
Mug.
Is this, it a hoarding
the
situation?
Rich Eisen Show mug that have my coffee in, and I don't know, I just have Latte Larry's here just because...
Okay.
You know.
Is it keeping your coffee warm in the latte?
Actually, there's nothing in there. I keep my batteries that run out of my ears every so often.
Thank you, Rich.
That was a big thing on Twitter yesterday, Rich. People commenting on your desk being a rest haven for coffee mugs.
Yeah. It is what it is, as they say. certainly in the NFL world. That, by the way, 1 week from today, we're talking about an opener.
Unbelievable.
1 week from today, we're talking about an opening game in the National Football League.
What are we talking about in regards to that game, you think?
I think we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs coming out. And
because the Chiefs have played spoilers before. They ruined a New England opening day.
They did.
A couple years ago.
You ask, so I answer. We didn't discuss this before.
We did not. I just...
Didn't. But I'll answer. I think what we will definitely be talking about is the crowd noise that we hear that NBC is going to play during the game. That a memo that the NFL sent out yesterday to all member clubs, letting them know that NFL Films has come up with team-specific and stadium-specific ambient sound that television networks are going to play for us that won't be heard in the stadium.
Nope.
But they do have specific to the stadium ambient noise that has also been made for the teams.
Okay.
And they cannot play it depending on how many fans there are in there. But right now it's 75 decibels and it will be checked every week by the NFL to see if anybody's gone over those decibels, and they could be fined or even have draft picks removed.
So Falcons, Seahawks, let's see, who else is going to pump crank?
Well, you know, there have been teams known to pump it in.
Indianapolis.
The Colts. I think Tom Brady's already said that. They will, hold on a second, forfeit their draft choices, to use the phrase that makes the triggers you and all you New Englanders. Yeah. But I think we will be talking about that. And there right now are fans to be expected in Arrowhead Stadium, about 22% of capacity. We'll be talking about that. We will be talking about for sure. I think we'll be talking about again something that Bill O'Brien does coaching that lets us wonder what's he thinking, and the Texans will have a chance to win
because of Deshaun Watson.
Because of Deshaun Watson, and Bill O'Brien does know what he's doing too. He just keeps us scratching our heads every now and then, and we'll see Mahomes making some great plays.
16,811 is 22%.
That's 22%
of capacity at Arrow.
There you go. So I don't. know what it's going to be like. Yeah. It would be so difficult for the Texans to come up with the win after the crowd goes crazy and the banner's being raised and the home of the Chiefs and all of that. We have no idea how it's going to look. And anybody who's wondering, well, it's just tough watching the U.S. Tennis Open right now, nobody in the stands. And it's tough watching, you know, hockey games, nobody in the stands. And it's tough watching sometimes NBA games, you think nobody in the stands, but I'm into all of it.
It's amazing.
I'm into all of it. Let's start with hockey. We're on NBCSN and the NBC Universal family of networks has not one, not two, but three game sevens in the conference semifinals. Three game sevens as the Canucks took care of business 4-0 against the Golden Knights. The Flyers winning in overtime. All three of their wins in the series against the Islanders in overtime. This one in double overtime. First time the Flyers have ever won three overtime games in the same series in the illustrious history of the Philadelphia Flyers.
My goodness.
They forced game sevens. And Dallas trying to stave off another Denver or Colorado-based team that was down 3-1 to force a game seven. We all know the Nuggets eventually knocked off their opponents in the Jazz. The Avalanche down 3-1 now forcing a game seven that's going to be on USA an hour after we're done here on Peacock on our quadcast and NBCSN at 9 Eastern time tonight. The Golden Knights and Canucks, a duo of contests in the Edmonton bubble. Pierre Maguire calling both of them. He will be on this show in the middle. And interestingly enough, the reason why this is amazing. The reason why Vancouver is in this game seven is because Thatcher Demko.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of Thatcher Demko? Great name, huh?
Great name.
Thatcher Demko came up with 42 saves in his first career playoff start.
Yeah, he did.
In game five and 48 saves last night. Kid from San Diego playing for Vancouver in an Edmonton bubble in a pandemic. That's facts.
How about high intense, high pressure Stanley Cup playoff back to back days?
That's the thing I want to talk to Pierre Maguire about. Why is the NHL doing that? You know,
that seems like a lot.
Do they have to get out of the Edmonton bubble in time for the Labor Day weekend that the Canadians don't celebrate? I don't understand.
The lease is expiring.
I don't understand, but Pierre will have the answer. I'm sure there might be some Peacock and NBC sports executives sitting where they're taking in the show, having the answer, but we're unaware and we'll ask Pierre about it. And, another fascinating aspect of the sports world, where I'm getting jumping off my couch. It doesn't matter that there's no fans in the stands. In the same way, again, that Thatcher Demko, a kid from San Diego. Let me hear from you, Thatcher Demko fans listening on the Mightier 1090. Kid from San Diego winning for Vancouver in an Edmonton bubble. How about a young man of British Nigerian descent by way of Indiana University playing for Toronto in a bubble, coming up with a huge shot for the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors, staring an 0-3 hole in the face in the Orlando bubble. After Kemba Walker of the Celtics came up with
baby,
a gorgeous no-look bounce pass for Tice to flush to give the Celtics a 2-point lead with 0.5 seconds to go. That got me off the couch because it sure looked like Kemba Walker was running out of time and was for sure going to do what every team in the NBA does, which is find somebody to hoist from three to spot up. And it looked like he had a perfect shot to find a perfect lane to pass to. And instead he bounced past it to Tice underneath. Remarkable, beautiful play. And then with 0.5 seconds to go, your reigning coach of the year, Nick Nurse, calls timeout, advance the ball. And Brad Stevens says, I have got somebody who is the largest human that many people have ever seen. Brad Stevens pushing the taco fall button. I turned to my son, Coop, sitting next to me, and I'm like saying, he wears 99, Coop, because he's just 1 inch shy of 100 feet tall. That's why he wears 99.
Really?
That's what I said.
I almost was like, really?
He kind of looked at me like, what? He's 100 feet tall. He's just 1 inch shy of 100 feet tall, so he's 99. As Kyle Lowry said after the game, they put a 7'12" guy on me. That was one of my favorite things that Kyle Lowry said.
All facts.
And he scrapes the roof of the bubble by looping a pass all the way across court to a wide open OG Anunoby.
That is a Brock Meyer name, right?
OG Anunoby. And the Hoosier gets it over the outstretched hands of Jaylen Brown.
Great
and,
photo that we're seeing right now.
Nails the three to win it.
Unbelievable, man.
And I just, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm watching with Coop. Kara Henderson Snead came over with her son Tate.
Oh, fantastic.
They're all Celtics fans, and they're all excited, thinking here comes the 3-0 lead, and then what? And I turned to them because I think I'm very keen observer of sports. Of sport. When everybody says sport, they're trying to sound highfalutin.
That's how you know it's real.
I was sitting there thinking, boy, do they miss Kawhi Leonard. This is where they miss Kawhi Leonard. This is where the Clippers are now enjoying the fruits of Kawhi Leonard's services. We'll get to that Clipper win in a second. But this is where they miss him. This is where they miss the guy in the last 3 foot. Like, I know Fred Van Vliet had a tremendous playoffs last year, and he can make a shot. I know Kyle Lowry can make a shot. We just saw OG Anunoby can make a shot. But this, I'm sitting there, this is where they miss Kawhi. And then OG Anunoby makes a shot.
Just cash.
And acted like he's been there before.
Yeah, he just stood there, and it was a great reaction.
It was cool.
And it's why you watch sports, and this is why I'm so thrilled the NBA bubble is back, and I don't care that there's no fans.
It was weird, though, when you see a playoff buzzer beater and there's just no reaction from the 18,000, whether it would be in Toronto. This game would have been in Boston, but
this would have been in Boston, so I would have, that's where I'm missing. I'm missing the sad-faced
sad
mass
Sully.
Holes. Yes.
Sully Fitz.
Sully and Fitz. Sad-faced Sully and Fitz. Thinking that they got 3-0 sewn up. I missed that.
That's a pretty
You're
good
right.
fantasy.
Sad face Sully
sad
and Fitz.
Sad face Sully and Fitz.
Someone did you, did
That's what we were denied, yes.
Your cousin's from Boston.
Hey, you know what, too? It just like it might have been even tougher for you know, Kyle Lowry would have probably been inbounding what? Directly in front of, you know, Sully and Fitz's rich grandparents.
Donnie Wahlberg,
you know,
probably.
You know, I don't know. You know, I'm...
Some of the Patriots players.
And
usually.
That's again why I don't know what's going to happen next Thursday night. The Texans could go in and just.
Yeah, it's almost like a neutral field
wipe
game.
Wipe the floor with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think so.
I think it's going to be high scoring and a lot of fun next week.
Well, that was fun yesterday. And then the Clippers, holy crap. That's the good stuff. Patrick Beverley's back. They're all there.
Yeah, they're really
They're
good.
Healthy.
Really good.
They're playing healthy. Kawhi didn't even have to play the fourth quarter. The Nuggets weren't even close as the object in the rearview mirror of the Clippers, as this score might even indicate. I mean, that was a wrap. But, hey, look, it was just two nights ago where the Nuggets won their Game 7. And did you see Jamal Murray on with the magical Van Peasy, Scott Van Pelt, after that game? Van Pelt told him you're playing Thursday, and Murray had not didn't know that.
Yet.
He goes, "What, we're playing Thursday, really?" And he like slumped his shoulders a little bit. Like,
I don't know, I can't get one extra day
off.
Go,
right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Lakers tonight, they haven't played since Monday, which is almost as long as the layoff, if you want to call it that, that they had when the NBA stopped playing last week. So they've been waiting for tonight's game, and man, that's going to be just so much fun watching the Rockets with their 6-6 and under team trying to corral LeBron and Anthony Davis to what? Hold them to what? What do you think? What's the goal? If you hold them to, if you hold them the you sign up for holding them 50, you'd sign for it right now.
I think 50.
Right?
Because you're asking the rest of the players, Kuzma and everybody else.
Well, Rondo's coming back,
too.
To get
about 60.
So you're expecting Rondo back to make them even deeper.
I think 110 will win the game tonight.
And now here comes the Heat to try and go up 3-0 in the Bucks.
I mean, I don't know what Bucks team is going to show up tonight.
I mean, and Brian Windhorst of the Worldwide Leaders, our last guest of the show and of the week, our second week here on Peacock. And this is great. Here we go. We've got NBA with Windhorst, Pierre Maguire again with pucks.
Yeah, here we go.
Hank Goldberg in between two of them, give us some winners for the Kentucky Derby, which Eddie Olchuk gave us some good stuff earlier this week from NBC. John Leguizamo of Critical Thinking. It's a new film that he has directed and he stars in. It's his feature film directorial debut based on a true story that five teenagers of color from the toughest ghetto in Miami fight their way into the national chess championship under the guidance of Leguizamo playing their inspirational teacher.
That guy, so, what a career. What a great actor, man.
So he's a diehard Met fan, just like you, TJ.
Oh.
Just like you, TJ. And yesterday I shot the top 60 Dallas Cowboys players of all time show. Michael Irvin was my colleague. Mm-hmm. Co-hosting, as the Dallas Cowboys have now already put out there on their vast platforms of social media. Emmett and Troy Aikman, this just in, as we reveal the top 10 players one by one, they make it. And it's a great...
Shocking. Imagine that.
It's a great conversation. Also on the show, Roger Staubach. By the way, he makes it.
Oh.
And Jerry Jones.
Does he make it?
Well, it's players.
Oh, gotcha.
It's players. So.
He made it. So he could put himself in there.
You know?
he makes it.
Well, Dr. Jones with my rubber glove is going to make sure every one of you are safe.
So later on, I know the top 10. Mm-hmm. I want you to give your top 10 as the biggest Dallas Cowboys fan that I know.
My pleasure.
Okay. And then on Tuesday, when we're back after the Labor Day weekend, we'll check your work because the show's on Sunday night at 6 Eastern time.
Okay.
All right, that'll be later on. And first up, before we take our first break, is Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic. Is my conference, the Big Ten Conference, is that conference voting today, re-voting today to play college football this fall?
Wow.
Reversing course, Omaha. And that, again, is a perfect word for this situation is calling an audible, and also because Nebraska and parents of the Nebraska football team suing the Big Ten. That started this. And also, there is word, again, that my coach has already informed Michigan players, the Wolverines, to get ready to play football in October, according to ESPN.
Oh, baby. And there's college football this weekend.
Yep. Right. I want to talk about that, obviously, but this is the big news. Because I don't know if the science has changed. Maybe testing has changed. Maybe resolve has certainly changed. But we'll talk to Bruce Feldman about all this coming up. And our poll question is a lot of fun, too. So the number is 844-204-RICH. Phone lines are already lighting up. We love that. When we come back, we take the phone call of Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox Sports. Is the Big Ten playing football this fall or not?
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Larry Scott of the Pac-12 was on DP right here on Peacock about an hour ago. I didn't hear because, didn't see it because we were getting ready for the show. I did see about a minute plus on DP's Twitter page, on his Twitter handle, at DP Show. And knowing Dan as I know him, and knowing his facial expressions as I know it, and hearing his voice as I've known it, it sounded to me like Larry Scott got griddled, and Dan was not having much of his answers. I'm just going to come on.
Dan was not impressed.
If anybody wants to confirm that,
not impressed.
Go for, you know. Just see. I think I've been around Dan for 25 years now, almost. It sounded like DP was having very little of the answers he was receiving. What is going on? It is totally nuts. Back here now on the Quadcast, our radio audience and NBCSN audience has rejoined us again. Pierre McGuire is going to be phoning in from the Edmonton bubble, where there's not one but two Game 7s today in conference semifinal action. And first one's going to be on USA at 1 Eastern, and then the back end will be at 9 Eastern, pardon me, at 4 Eastern, and then 9 Eastern will be on NBCSN as the Western Conference Finals wrap up in Toronto tomorrow. It'll be Philly and the Islanders. And I have no rooting interest other than the fact that I grew up hating the Islanders. And so I'll just say go Philadelphia just because of it. I don't know. That's the Barry Beck Rangers fan in me coming up. So there you have it. Pierre McGuire will be talking about all that. And Bruce Feldman will be calling in shortly. Cam Newton, not officially named, but it came out that he is the starting quarterback in New England and was also named one of the offensive captains.
Which the team did announce. The team did announce the captains, but starting quarterback not announced. The Globe had it first. No shock there.
Dude.
No shock.
This is truly
why you got the
so
guy.
Much fun. I'm sorry that Brady left on behalf of...
Yeah,
look, but, it's... it. You know. I mean, 20 years is a very long time. But I know it hurts that Brady left and that Gronk left. It is a delicious storyline for the rest of us in the NFL to follow, to see how Brady will fare in a new spot with Bruce Arians and Gronk is back and two tremendous wide receivers, Evans and Godwin, that with all due respect to all the other wide receivers that he has had, I don't think he's ever had a tandem like this, not even remotely close. And now he's got Leonard Fournette to hand off to, and Ronald Jones and LeSean McCoy. That's great. But the fact that this guy's in New England to replace Tom Brady, first time ever a team has lost its MVP quarterback in an offseason and replace him with another MVP quarterback, that's never happened before.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's never happened before, and Cam's got a huge chip on his shoulder. He was left sitting on the couch, as they say, at ATC, at the crib, as they say in the NFL. Way too long. Disrespectfully too long. And New England, of all teams, is the one to go get him. To get a shiny object. And Belichick is going to be the one to put him out there on the field and then just seeing what he looks like. If he even is remotely close to the guy that was that MVP candidate in 2015, where he can run you over, right? You're going to start seeing everybody who's anybody, certainly in fantasy, it's already tough to figure out who gets the ball at the 2-yard line for New England.
Sure, the fact
that it could be him, too. It just, I know that's the fantasy way of looking at it, but the real world looking at it, just a totally different ball of wax, man.
It's going to be great.
So excited. So exciting. That's in the AFC East, along with the Bills that have, you know, in many people's minds, surpassed New England in terms of on-field talent and expectations with Stephon Diggs going there. You've got my Jets. I have no earthly idea what the hell they're going to look like. They finished strong last year, and we'll see how they can do with Mekhi Becton standing there like Taco Fall trying to protect
Sam Darnold,
blow open holes for Le'Veon Bell. And then you've got the Dolphins. I want to say this about Miami. I want to say this about Dolphins. Because yesterday, you know, we went down a little bit of a wormhole about Pete Rose and how the Cubs have made a deal with DraftKings and how Pete Rose should be reinstated if baseball is going to start just saying, let's just start doing gambling stuff, because you could tell Pete he's done his penance. We went down that hole.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really comment about Josh Rosen supposedly being on the trade block. This kid has had the worst luck since being drafted.
You can even go take it back to college where he had
I mean, he did get to go to UCLA.
I know, but he had a different offensive coordinator every single year.
I know, but he still performed well enough to be the 10th overall pick in the
that's
draft.
True.
Okay, so I want to start there. Because it's, you know, there's only nine guys that were ahead of him. You remember he did say at the time that he was going to have nine teams were going to regret it. But we talk all the time about somebody who comes out of college and it's the perfect situation, which is coach doesn't get fired, GM is there, and offensive coordinator is safe because coach is safe, and owner knows what needs to be done organizationally. Obviously, like Seattle, Baltimore leaps to mind for those situations, right? He gets drafted by Arizona, which had hired a defensive-minded first-time head coach in Steve Wilks. And Josh Rosen gets thrown in into the middle of things. And it's a total complete disaster. The team is not ready to have a rookie succeed. He loses his offensive coordinator in the middle of his first season. The offensive line is dreadful.
Dreadful.
And it's so bad that they earn the first overall pick the next year, which a new coach is brought in. And it's kind of, I wouldn't say rare, but usually when a general manager makes a coaching decision and one and done's that coach, the general manager's also on thin ice, but that didn't happen in Arizona. So new coach is brought in, and they draft a Heisman Trophy winner in Kyler Murray and wind up trading him after, you know, Murray is acquired. And we could go back and forth about how he was treated in that offseason workout program, putting him in a very awkward spot, which he handled well. But then Kyler Murray comes in, and it's clearly his job, and Rosen gets traded on the second draft night to Miami. And this is, again, we forget that this was just last year. It feels, again, that it's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But on that draft night, it was huge that Miami used a second round selection to get him. And thus, this is the guy, this is the spot. It's a new coach, a defensive minded coach, but it's a new coach again. And he goes to the spot, and you think they're going to give him that shot. And instead, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick who gets the shot. Now, you could say Rosen didn't earn it. And of all the times that you could trade this kid away after you get Tua, where the Dolphins get a new quarterback, he goes to a spot where instead of him getting this shot, he's now watching again a Heisman candidate be drafted by a first round with a first round draft choice high up. So they're investing their future in another young quarterback, not him. And of all times to trade him, it's the week before the season? I guess they wanted to see if Tua was 1,000% fine with his hip. I mean, it truly is the worst possible scenarios 3 years in. Kind of felt for him.
I feel for him. Dude can play. He's got talent. Like you said, he's maybe the unluckiest player in the last couple
years. You know what I mean?
Years.
Like, you want to go to a spot where you're attached at the hip of a head coach who knows what to do with you, and it's an offensive system that is built for you, because that's the way it should be when you're the 10th overall pick in a draft. And then you're acquired as a second round with a second round draft choice on a draft night, like a Garoppolo pick. Instead, they draft somebody else the next year.
Crazy.
And then wait till a week before the season to trade him. Even free agents try and find this stuff, and it works out with Breeze. Breeze has been attached to the hip with Sean Payton for a decade and a half now.
Well, what did Rick Stroud say yesterday? 215 games?
Bruce Feldman joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show to talk some college football, where, by the way, there's a slate of college games that we'll get to with Bruce a little bit here. But I want to dive in with the college football maven from Fox Sports and The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show about the Big Ten. What's going on, Bruce?
Good morning, Rich. Good to be on with you.
Is there, and pleased that you're on here as well. Is there a vote going down for the Big Ten to reverse course and get everybody out playing football in about a month? Is that really what's happening right now?
Not to my knowledge that it's... Big Ten ADs have been on the record as saying that they didn't know of it as of last night. So is it possible? Yeah, I think right now it's just such a weird story. There's some elements of what was like with the old realignment stuff from a decade ago, where people who are normally pretty good sources, whether they're powerful head coaches or even ADs, may not always be in the loop of some of these things right now. But there's just been so much wild speculation out there that, you know, I'm hesitant to go too strong on anything, right? About a week ago in The Athletic, I had reported that there was engaged plans about after Thanksgiving weekend potential start. And that's one of the things that a subcommittee that the Big Ten has been working on for scheduling proposals. So in that case, it would likely be a 10-game schedule, and that they would hope would at least, give them a flexibility to have, not to have the piggyback, you know, one season, and then all of a sudden, not that long after that, you're talking about having a fall 2021 regular season. But also, in that timeline, if it could work that way, the hope would be that, okay, the regular students mostly would be done with finals. They'd be off campus. It wouldn't be a bubble like we've come to see with the NBA, but it's probably about as close to a bubble situation as they could get. But there's just so many challenges that they're trying to sort through in terms of what will happen that will convince the Big Ten presidents that this is much safer than it was before. Now, if regular college football, when I say regular college football, I'm not just talking about like one or two games that we've seen already, but you know, if we've had a month of these games, including Power 5 games, and there seem to be no medical issues that are dire that have been reflected on that, if testing is more efficient, I think that would strengthen the argument. But right now, I don't think we're getting into the knee-jerk, hey, there's been one game played or there's been two games played, and there seem to be no major issues. I don't think that the Big Ten presidents are there yet.
Well, I guess then the question I have, Bruce, is what happened? The only thing that changed between the Big Ten making their announcement and our conversation today, well, I guess a couple of things have changed. One is testing might have had somewhat of a breakthrough with an antigen-related test that may or may not be the game changer that it's supposed to be. But it's out there now with emergency approval from the FDA and pressure from President Trump. I mean, those are the only two things that have changed. And then yesterday, a report that came out of what the director of athletic medicine of Penn State said at a local school board meeting on Monday, that roughly 30 to 35% of Big Ten athletes who tested positive for COVID appeared to have hardening of heart muscles, myocarditis. So we're actually getting more information to prove that the Big Ten's decision might have been prudent to begin with. What the hell is going on,
well,
Bruce?
I mean, let's jump in on that last point, Rich.
Sure.
On the Penn State medical doctor, that story or those comments were inaccurate. And so, you know, it was weird because I remember calling somebody there who was unfamiliar with some of those numbers and didn't think they were accurate. And I think what's happened, Rich, and I think this is one element of this, because Kevin Warren, the new Big Ten commissioner, has been so reluctant to share any real specifics on their rationale, unlike, quite honestly, the Pac-12, which has gone into pretty good detail, into the Big Ten has not. And so, I don't know, probably 3 weeks ago, The Athletic had reported that there were at least 10 cases of myocarditis or heart issues that the conference believed came from COVID-related. Once that happened, the Big Ten really didn't go anywhere with it. So we don't know what number of this, because some of the testing as it relates to cardiac MRIs, that is not as widespread, or it's not as, you know, were these schools that were having big numbers early on, whether they had had, and I'm not saying it's necessarily just the Big Ten, but in other places we've seen Clemson that had a big number, we've heard NC State had big numbers of positives. Were those schools testing for myocarditis? Were they testing their asymptomatic players? And because there's been such limited transparency, and I remember talking to one of the medical chair for the Pac-12's committee, and they said that there really was not like a registry set up in terms of for all of the FBS conferences to share information about what they're finding. And to me, that was kind of a head scratcher that they wouldn't be doing that, because it's one thing for us to say, you know, because of people can say because of HIPAA or FERPA or these privacy laws, hey, we're not going to say that Johnny Smith tested positive or anything. I get that. But if you're talking about the actual numbers of players who have been affected, how they've been affected by it, I mean, there's been such little transparency, and that has led to things like what has gone on, like that Penn State story you're talking about yesterday that went viral for about 8 hours, mm-hmm. and then later in the day got clarified and corrected or debunked. And again, I think that just speaks to the lack of transparency that we've seen from college athletics in the face of a pandemic.
And inaccurate in the fact that the director of medicine was inaccurately quoted, and that the numbers are off, or his numbers were off, or he never said it.
I think he misspoke. At least that's how the statement was made coming out of Penn State, that his numbers weren't accurate. Wow. It would also be a really small sample size unit was just taking the Penn State cases. So again, I think this speaks to, though, the Big Ten's inability to show any level of transparency or explanation. And the reason why I think this, one of the reasons why this matters, Rich, is when we've heard so much about how I get why the Big Ten players and parents are frustrated, because they've been asked to go above and beyond in terms of accountability and responsibility than any college football players have ever been asked to do. We're in a pandemic, right? And they, by and large, from what we've heard, have done that. And to find out that, hey, you're not going to get a chance to play, and everybody else, not everybody else, but, you know, the half of college football is going on, I do think it would have been incumbent upon the leadership of the Big Ten to give them at least more of an explanation. As I said, the Pac-12 did more of that. The Big Ten, for whatever reason, has just been unable or unwilling to share much of that at all. And they created such a mess in the wake of it.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. I mean, mess is a perfect word, Bruce. I don't blame the parents who were probably spending all of March and April and May wondering what the protocols are. We had Brian Kelly of Notre Dame on, I think it was in May, Chris, right? It was like May or June where he was saying, we're still trying to figure out the protocols, and I need to tell the parents what they are before I take their kids under my wing and say, you should send them to me back to campus. You know, it was mid-May. And so, your parents are trying to figure out what they are. Then you finally get whatever protocols that are put there in place, and schools like, again, my alma mater, as Jim Harbaugh put out a statement the day that the Big Ten decided to push that, they hardly were testing positive because the protocols that they had put into place were working. Ohio State saying the same thing. You're hearing about other programs who have that. And then parents here a week after the schedule's out, we're done. And the commissioner who says that has a kid playing in the SEC. And I would just be going nuts if I didn't have all the information. And the Big Ten didn't Kevin Warren call one of your colleagues from The Athletic and give an interview and say, here are the six reasons why, the same six reasons that the Pac-12 had put out? I mean, is there some sort of miscommunication here or lack of it?
I think there's been a lack of it. I think there has been an unwillingness from him. And again, I use the Pac-12 example. The Pac-12 went into detail. We did a big story at The Athletic about the night before they announced they had a 90-minute Zoom call. All their medical experts, as well as all the coaches, all the ADs, and Larry Scott, the commissioner. And they explained that their worries about the heart-related issues. They referenced an Indiana freshman offensive lineman whose mom had spoken out about her concerns and the experiences that her son had had with it. They referenced a former Florida State basketball player who passed away. They referenced a 19-year-old former high school football player in the state of Washington who passed away, and several others, a pitcher with the Red Sox. But one of the things, like, that has gotten the attention as a diarist, but one of the things that they really articulated was in the hotspots that they had identified that there would be five of those schools would have to have daily testing and be ramped up to that capacity before they felt comfortable that they could go forward. And they didn't think they would be at that place till November. Now, it just came out yesterday. We did a lot of reporting on this, that the Pac-12 has just partnered with a health services company that will be able to do daily testing and rapid response within 15 minutes. And that is a breakthrough. And Larry Scott called it a game changer. But in the Pac-12's case, because of local ordinances, there's still six schools, all four of the California schools as well as both Oregon schools, cannot really, they're not allowed to go back to actually practicing and doing football stuff at this point. So it's still a process. The Big Ten has offered nothing of that substance, and they're the ones, honestly, who we've heard more about their issues in terms of the myocarditis and the heart issues. And so, you know, whenever it's been brought up, I don't know if it's all the presidents of the conference are telling Kevin Warren, hey, you cannot go into these details. We're worried about legal jeopardy. I don't know the rationale behind it, because if I'm Kevin Warren, I'm the first-time commissioner. I replaced Jim Delaney, and I'm in the middle of this pandemic. I'm going to have to push back a little bit more on the president, if that's the message he's getting, and saying, listen, I get that you're worried about X, Y, and Z, but to a large degree, I owe it to the student athletes first, and I owe it to their parents second, to give more detail, because they're going to see all this other stuff going on and go, what did we do here? And that's where they have dropped the ball. And again, you know, like I keep coming back to it, it's just been a head scratcher.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I guess the other stuff going on are games. There's a slate of games for Labor Day weekend. This is when everybody would have been back. My alma mater would have been at Washington had there been no pandemic. You know, we're seeing two military academies, Army and Navy, playing this weekend. BYU and Navy. I mean, that's a fun matchup. I mean, I will be tuned in to ESPN on Monday night as we get set to be on ESPN watch football on Monday night on ESPN now for the next 17 weeks. Knock on wood if you're with me, to use the John Gruden phrase. And then the SEC and the ACC and Big 12. Planning on playing. So I guess my question for you is these schools and academies we see on the screen and the other conferences that are still going ahead, do they just view the medicine and the science differently? What's the disconnect here?
That's it. I mean, that's it, Rich. I think it's the leadership of those conferences are relying on medical experts who are seeing it through a different.
There we go. You might have dropped off right there.
Yeah.
You know, just let's drop it and give him a call back because I just want to hear the answer to that question. I mean, they just view the science and the medicine differently. Man, I hope they're right. I really just want football. And
yeah,
obviously,
of course,
these programs mean so much to local communities and obviously for other programs at schools. And it means so much to so many people. I mean, you're hearing the hue, again, the hue and cry out of the state of Ohio in particular has been something. All right, we'll take a break. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com, G-E-I-C-O.com. Back here on Peacock, and our NBCSN audience will rejoin us shortly, but let's get Bruce Feldman back on the phone line. Bruce, you there?
I am, Rich. Okay. So I think you lost me on, you asked me why are other leagues able to play in these other...
Yeah, are they viewing the signs differently?
Yeah, I think it's as simple as this, that some leagues are looking at it, their leadership is trusting medical experts who are looking at things, quite honestly, through a different lens than certainly the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and a few other leagues. And, you know, look, we've heard so much dust up in the Big Ten. You haven't really heard any of that from the Pac-12 coaches. I mean, you mentioned Michigan was supposed to open up against Washington. Jimmy Lake was pretty outspoken about, hey, you know, he doesn't want his players to be guinea pigs in this. Like, I
yeah,
think
well, I mean,
and,
hold
coaches,
on one second, Bruce, if you don't mind. We're about to be rejoined. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on NBCSN. And you were saying, Bruce Feldman, back here on the phone line, my guest a couple Mondays ago, David Shaw of Stanford, I asked him if the Big Ten and the Pac-12 had made the right decision in moving off of the fall schedule. He said the words unequivocally. That's what he said. Unequivocally is what he said. So it's interesting to see how the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are looking at science and medicine a little bit differently for the moment, because it certainly seems like both schools conferences are leaning towards coming back in the fall.
Yeah, if they can, when they get to that point again. And I think it's worth noting that the Pac-12 coaches have not, there's not been this dust up, and for the people who are like, oh yeah, it means more in the Big Ten, it may mean more to the fans on percentage. It doesn't mean any more to the coaches, though. I mean, you know who David Shaw is. I mean, Jimmy Lake coached in the NFL. He's, you know, Mario Cristobal. Those guys are as much football guys as there is. And when Jimmy Lake comes out and says, we don't want our team to be guinea pigs after hearing from the medical experts, I mean, that's his perspective on it. And I think it all comes back to, you know, the lens of the medical experts that they're looking at this and whatever they find. And I think the thing to maybe keep in the back of your mind with this all is, because we're going to see games. We've already seen the two last night and one a week ago, is, you know, this is a long-term run, right? This isn't a sprint. Oh, okay, there were games played in a high school weekend where everything's fine. I mean, it's great that there are no reports of cases from the first game, Central Arkansas against
Austin Peay.
Against Austin Peay last weekend. But again, it's like if you're a college AD, or you're a conference commissioner, or you're a college president, man, you got a lot on the line, because if there is a tragedy and you know, we've heard these, and you have all these conferences who are saying, we didn't feel comfortable saying we could play. We just didn't feel the information was telling us. And keep in mind, it's a pandemic, and what's the death count up to in the country? That is a lot of responsibility to make the decision to say, yeah, we're going to push forward. And so right now, let's keep our fingers crossed that everything can be safe and this, the game we love can keep going. But it's definitely, it's not an easy decision. And I think maybe that part of it has gotten lost because of all the sniping back and forth with the Big Ten and how it handled its messaging.
So I guess crystal ball it for me, Bruce, if you don't mind. Again, the Detroit Free Press is quoting a player on the Michigan team saying that Harbaugh's told the team to be ready for October. You know, Ohio State is back practicing. Do we see a vote in the next 72, 90 hours over Labor Day weekend so the Big Ten can get ready a month from now? And do you think by the end of this month we do see Alabama, despite tons of COVID cases on its campus, or Clemson, or Oklahoma back playing football? Do you think that happens?
I don't doubt that the schools that are already planning on playing then, and I also don't doubt that Jim Harbaugh has told his team get ready to play because he wants them to be mentally ready and not checked out. You know, and this is a guess, but I would be surprised if the Big Ten is playing football in the beginning of October. I mean, I just, again, look, a lot of stuff changes. The Pac-12 testing model in terms of this breakthrough yesterday that was announced, that came faster than they thought. So will that help things? But again, you're seeing all this, you know, Maryland just had to pause all its training because of the number of cases there. I mean, what I was told by somebody in the Pac-12 late last week was that if all 14 institutions didn't feel like it was in the best interest of them going forward, they weren't going to make that decision. So again, I mean, you know, it's like, it's a lot of two steps forward, one step back. While you can have the progress on the medical front, then you see like news out of Maryland yesterday. So I don't know. If I were to guess, and it's just a guess, I would think that the most optimistic time realistically may be that late Thanksgiving time to start. And again, we got to see what happens when these other leagues start to play. Will there be, you know, will there be pauses and games that they can't have because of quarantines or whatnot? And we just, on that front, I just don't think we know enough yet.
Bruce, thanks for the call. You take care of yourself. We'll connect next week. I have a feeling we'll be chatting next week again, Bruce.
Sounds good, Rich. Thanks for having me.
You got it. That's Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Man, oh man.
It's called Quidel, I believe, Corporation. Going to supply daily rapid COVID-19 testing to athletes in close contact sports for the Pac-12. Larry Scott called it, quote unquote, a game changer and a major step forward. Hey, if testing is improved and kids can get it and it's something that all students can get and science is approaching a better handle on everything, maybe that happens, but I don't think we as this country, and this is not woke sports. We just haven't done the hard work. We haven't. Number of people that I see strolling around here in Los Angeles not wearing a mask, it's mind-boggling. It's head-scratching. I don't know. But obviously other conferences see the science and read it differently. And right now the Big Ten is not voting today, seems like. But who the hell knows? That came out of nowhere when they decided to say that they were done for the fall.
Like a week after they announced the full schedule.
What a mess. It's unfortunate. It really is so unfortunate. And I don't know. I guess if they wind up playing by the middle of October, I just want everybody healthy. Yep. And everyone talking about, hey, the NFL looks like they're ready to go, and they do, and knock on wood right there. But nobody's played each other yet. Everybody's staying in their own bubbles. Vectors have not crossed. I just want to get in the middle of September. I just want to get there and see how it goes. John Leguizamo and Pierre Maguire. That's how we roll in hour number two. Hank Goldberg's going to give us winners. There's Titan news to refer you to. We'll see if that's Jadeveon Clowney or not. I'm going to go check out my Twitter right after this.
COVID-19
spreading rapidly throughout the world.
Almost 1 million deaths.
African Americans
hit harder than others.
The double whammy.
I'm JJ Green. I'm black.
I'm Chris Kohr. I'm white.
Join us on Colors, our new podcast,
as Dr. Anthony Fauci gives us some straight talk about race, risks, and vaccines.
On Colors, episode 12.
Subscribe to Colors on Apple, Spotify, Podcast One, or wherever you get your podcasts.